Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we are back, and we have Jan Porter on here, and she is running for Congress, and that's the 16th district, isn't it? 13th district. And so anyhow, you were referred to the partial birth abortion bill. When we put that, and I remember working on that, we spent a lot of time with the wording, and in the beginning, it was called the brain suction abortion bill. That was what it was. And then they changed the name. For some reason, people thought that the name was, the politicians thought the name was too strong, didn't they?
Yeah, well, that was when you're first, you know, you kind of like, you know, pave the way. You blaze the trail and you there's some things that change. That's, you know, I knew this. I knew that with the heartbeat bill, that's what it was going to be called. No matter whether it's called the Federal Heartbeat Protection Act, doesn't matter. It'll be known as the heartbeat bill, and I knew that from the onset. It doesn't matter what you call a partial birth abortion. It is brutal, and that's what I saw, where legislators who previously even called themselves pro-choice, they saw that we're now talking really about infanticide, where a child is four-fifths of the way outside of the womb, where they suck this child's skull, they suck the brains out of this child, collapse the skull, and it's horrific. I mean, when I saw for the first time, when we introduced this bill for the first time in America, I saw legislators on the other side of the desk from me break down and cry. They're tearing up. These are members of leadership that were pretty hardened and, you know, pretty seasoned. But I realized, wait a minute, there's something different about this. They get it. They understand the brutality of this ultimate form of child abuse. And we did. We led the way. But what a lot of people don't know is behind the scenes, they killed this bill. We had a pro-abortion speaker at the time, Joanne Davidson, you remember.
Oh, yeah.
They killed this bill. What happened was a lot of the Republicans, they went to a reception and they didn't have a quorum to adjourn the committee. So they only recessed the committee. So it wasn't officially closed. So what happened was it was Marilyn Reed, and the Democrats. Marilyn Reed was a Republican. The Democrats joined her and they got together and they had a rogue committee meeting and they voted to kill the bill without any of the other Republicans there, without the chairman being there. And the speaker ruled it to be OK. This is official. This is something that she said was OK. And I remember being in the room, Pastor, with all these legislators, and they all said, oh, yeah, well, Jan, we tried. You know, we'll get them next year. And I just remember something rose up in me and said, no. I mean, we serve the God of the impossible. Don't tell me this can't be done. And so I remember it was kind of like a movie where somebody had told me, it was then Representative Lou Blessing, who put the idea in my mind years before that there was such a thing called a discharge petition. That could pull it with enough signatures, you could pull a bill out of a hostile committee and bring it to the floor for a vote. And that's what I proposed. They said it had never worked in all of Ohio history. And we set out to do it and we got it done.
I remember that. And you actually, I think we had to run some people down. Didn't we have to go and actually drive some of these state legislators there to the meeting?
We actually chased them down everywhere you can imagine. It was only one representative in all of the House that actually helped me. His name is Ron Hood. He's running for governor. He's the guy I'm going to be voting for governor, Ron Hood. He's been tested in the fire. He's come out gold. And he was the only legislator who joined me in that effort. We went up and down halls. We stopped elevators. We went in restaurants. They were in bars. We went after these guys. And we had, I believe, less than 24 hours to get them. And we got them. And again, that's 50 names. That's 50 legislators who we had to track down and get their name on something they had never even heard of, called a discharge petition. Most of them didn't know what it was. And I remember right as the bells were ringing, Pastor, you remember Troy Lee James? He was kind of the Bill Patman of yesterday. He's an African-American Democrat champion. and he signed the discharge petition. He's a very liberal, he was a liberal guy, but he signed to bring the bill to the floor. And while the liberal friends that he had were calling for him to speak on the floor, I remember Mark Lally, who was my boss at the time at Right to Life, he said, did they get him? You know, why are the liberals calling for him? And I had complete confidence. I knew he would not sell us out. I knew he was going to be pro-life, because I also knew that this man, Representative Tory Lee James, was also the youngest of 18. And so when he stood up and he said, is this really what we're talking about? Talking about pulling out a child and sucking out their brains, because I am glad that my parents are not alive to see this day where this is happening in America. It's happening in Ohio. And he actually gave the speech. A liberal Democrat gave the speech that won the day on Ohio's partial birth abortion, the first one in the nation. So there's just so many stories, but I know this, that once you've seen Goliath fall, once you've seen the giant topple, there is no one who can tell you it can't be done. You want to know why I have such hope for America? Because I've seen Goliaths fall. I've seen victories that never should have happened by the estimation of the world. And yet we don't follow the world. We follow the God of the impossible.
You're absolutely right. And you were talking about Ron Hood. He's going to be, I believe, in Canton, I think, this weekend. And I had an announcement where he was going to be speaking. And and again, you're going to be. Tell us again where you're going to be this weekend.
Sure. I'm actually going to be speaking in Copley. It's this Friday. It's at 7 o'clock p.m. I'm digging up the address as I talk to you. Here it is. It's at St. Luke's Church. And the address, if you're going to grab a pen, it's Friday. And I told people in the video, you know, they censor me online, but there's a place where I won't be censored. That's Friday night. I'll be speaking at St. Luke's Church in Copley, near Akron, and the address is 3810 Ridgewood Road, 3810 Ridgewood Road, Copley, Ohio, zip code 43244321. So it's 3810 Ridgewood Road in Copley, and the information is all at janetbulgerporter.com. It's there in the video. I appreciate you playing it. But it's where we're going to talk a lot about not just these stories, but what we can do moving forward. There is a pathway to victory, just as we see now with the heartbeat bill. There is a pathway to end abortion. The Supreme Court, the best news nobody knows, is that the Supreme Court of the United States, does not have the votes to strike down the most protective law in the country, the Texas heartbeat bill, that's saving more children than anything else ever has. And guess what? That means Roe is dead. Ladies and gentlemen, Roe is dead. I don't care what the decision is coming out in June. If they don't have the votes to strike down the Texas heartbeat bill, that means we have that pathway to victory. We can save 9 out of 10 children right now, today. We're going to do it all over in other states, and we're going to do it here in Ohio as well.
All righty. We are 2,500 short. We are 2,500 short of our goal. Right now, we've got approximately 40 minutes left in the program tonight, and we are 2,500 short. So we need to hear from you now. I see that Randy in California pledges 25. Stephanie from New York pledges 50. Teresa from Cleveland pledges 40. And did you misspell that?
Anthony.
Anthony from Akron pledges 35. All right, folks, thank you, thank you. But we need to hear from you. The phone lines are open at 888. We're running out of time, 281-1110. We're looking for some matching pledges. Look, we pledged 2,800. Can't we find at least one person that'll match that 2,800? All right, 888-677-9673. Now, Ron Hood, Ron is going to be, along with Candace Keller, and he is going to be, let me see, this weekend. I'm looking at the date, Thursday. Well, that's 2 days from now. Thursday, April 21st. He will be at the Trinity Gospel Temple at 1612 Tuscarora Street in West Canton, Ohio. So that's this coming April 21st. There you go, Thursday. All right, now, Jan. Okay, God's Word, the Bible tells you in the end times, as we get closer and closer to the Lord coming back, the righteous will become more righteous and the wicked will become more wicked. divide is going to be much greater. Now, we're seeing, I'm seeing things happening. I'm seeing parents seem to be caring more for their children nowadays, and they're running for school boards. For 50 years on the radio, I was telling people, if you love your children, if you love your children, if you love them, get them out of the public schools. They're finally doing that. They're doing that in large numbers now. They're putting them in private Christian schools, or they're putting them, they're homeschooling them, but they're putting them out of the wicked. The public school system has gotten more and more wicked. They found more and more pornography in textbooks. They found public schools that were giving the children the poisonous poke, the death shot, without their parents even knowing about it, without even knowing about it. We're seeing the critical race theory where, you know, they're trying to turn people against people, turning the children against their parents. We're seeing all that. And then on the other side, we're seeing our side is becoming, well, finally, it's kind of late, but finally becoming active. And we're seeing our people picking up school boards. They're winning elections of school boards all across the country. And it's got the Democrats in a real panic. Now, I've got an article right here. Green energy company pleads guilty after their wind farm kills 150 bald eagles. Now, listen, 150 million dead American babies, you know, doesn't matter that much to the Democrats. But 150 bald eagles, now they're getting their attention. Maybe they might think, you know, maybe these windmills weren't such a good idea. What do you think?
Very interesting. Now they care. All of a sudden, now they care, right?
Yeah. There you go. Now, here's some good news. Twitter rejects Musk's offer, Elon Musk. So DeSantis and Musk team up to make Twitter an offer it can't refuse, okay? Musk recently announced that he would be attempting to purchase 100% of Twitter in a bid to create true free speech platform. Musk offered to buy Twitter in its entirety at $54.2 billion, or dollars for sure, rather, or at a 54% premium on the share's actual value. Twitter's board of directors, which has led the company to adopt numerous left-wing biased censorship policies, has fought back by initiating a poisonous pill, a method of diluting Musk's shares in order to weaken his current standing. A recent, yet-to-be-confirmed reporting indicates that Musk is about to launch a counter-move by teaming up with various additional investors. As it turns out, however, Musk has already, according to WJXT, during a news conference on Tuesday, let me see, I'm missing a sentence, has already, well, boy, it figures. Anyhow, the Democrats must have been a part of this. DeSantis announced that a team of lawyers is currently reviewing how the state can hold the Twitter board accountable for breaching their fiduciary duty. It's important to note that Musk previously used this exact language on Twitter's platform Thursday, warning that the board may soon face legal repercussions for breaching their fiduciary duty. You know, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice if we had a legitimate judicial system? The problem we have is we do not have a Department of Justice where we can bring these people. Example in front of me. Here, we have it. GOP announces arrests are coming after acquiring Hunter Biden's laptop. The big guy is going down. Here's the article today. In Law and Order News. And so, according to Representative Darrell Isaac, GOP has gained custody of Hunter Biden's laptop from him and is looking over disgusting contents. And it goes on to say, it has to be followed all the way back to the big guy, said Isaac said on Fox News on Sunday, referring to an email from the laptop that discussed questionable business ventures in China, which the big guy, a reference to his father, Joe Biden, would stand to gain 10%. We're going to need a special prosecutor, but in the meantime, we're investigating it, he added. We have the laptop, and the laptop is the treasure trove of the oblivious. Now, listen, if the Senate, if we take back the Senate, if we take back the House, and I think we're going to do that, okay, is there any way, how can we actually get a Justice Department again?
Well, it's going to take a president, right? So that's why what we're doing now is we're building for what's coming in 2 years from now. I believe that Trump will come back. I believe he'll be reelected. I believe we clean up the voting system. But what it's going to take is a Congress and the White House. But here's the thing, and this is the lesson that those in Congress need to learn. I remember I was sitting in Congress in Steve King's office. I was doing an interview with Dr. James Dobson, and he asked about, you know, what the likelihood that we would get this federal heartbeat bill passed. And I explained that we had, at that time, 2017, we had a Republican House, a Republican Senate, and a Republican White House. We had pro-life justices being ushered on the Supreme Court. I said, this is our window. This is our opportunity. The Republicans have the majority. Will they use it? And you know it. The window closed, slammed shut, and it's because the Republicans did not act. They did not deliver on their campaign promises. They did not end abortion for children with beating hearts. I believe they lost the majority, and that's what happened. And what we need to do is learn the lessons that Republicans, when they get in charge, what they do is they care more about power. They want to use babies to get elected rather than use elections to protect babies. And that's got to change. And the only way it can change are the lessons that I've learned, especially in the last decade, is that we've got to band together as a block. We saw it in South Carolina. We saw it in Arkansas, where the groups band together. The legislator said, if you want your precious budget, if you want these bills that matter to you, then you give us heartbeat. And they did. If we had legislators in Ohio willing to do that, it wouldn't have cost me a decade of my life getting this bill through. And that's what we've got to do in Congress. We need to get the freshmen. We need to join together before the hooks of the swamp gets all the promises, the perks, and the payoffs get made and the deals that are cut. We got to get to them before that happens. And we join together. And that's why I put together the America First Contract. It's the 10 things we most want to see, and I can't wait to see them.
All right, very good. Now, you know, if we had someone like Jim Jordan as Speaker of the House,
what a different world we'd have, wouldn't it?
It would really be. Or Josh Hawley as the Speaker of the Senate.
Yeah, majority leader there.
Mm-hmm. Or Ted Cruz, yeah. And, I mean, look, McConnell is a rhino. And that's where it would have hurt us so much is these rhinos. You know, the enemy walks amongst us. They're there always waiting to find out, you know, what it's going to take and to you know, to sell their vote, basically, to the highest bidder. And, and we're so tired of betrayal. We are just so very tired of betrayal. And so, anyhow, that's what they're doing.
What I've been telling people, Pastor, is if you want someone that's going to go to Washington to fight rhinos, not just to fight them for the sake of fighting them, but to fight them to get something done, pick somebody who's done that already. And that's what I've spent really the last 12 years doing around the country. We're fighting the rhinos who have been blocking our bills. The problem in America, it isn't just the Marxists on the left that are running the show right now. It's the rhinos on the right that when they get the majority, they keep us from doing the things that need to be done to right this ship, to bring our country back on course. And that's where the lessons I've learned, I want to apply them. I want to build a team, and I want to get an America First contract. You can check it out at janetfolgerporter.com, janetfolgerporter.com. You can scope it out, and you can help if you believe that the evidence of what we've done so far. Again, the only way to tell the real from the rhinos, the fake from the real, is the actions and the results. And what we have brought to this effort, they said, what sets you, I asked today, what sets you apart from your opponents? And that's it. It's actions and results. I'm the one that knows how a bill becomes a law and has brought that about not only in Ohio on a score of bills, but also in the country. And these are against impossible odds. These aren't the mamby-pamby, just the milquetoast kind of bills. We ended abortion There's a state in America that doesn't kill 9 out of 10 children, 40,000 a year, and that is just the beginning, because now the momentum is unstoppable. It's the Texas-style version is passed in Idaho. A conception bill with a civil penalty is passed in Oklahoma. We've got a bill ready to go in Ohio that has the Texas civil penalties to tweak our heartbeat law and others around the country. It's happening. And if we can do that, if we can end abortion, we can take our country back. And you need somebody in there that's learned the lessons as to how.
All righty, Jet, you need to tell the people, the 13th Congressional District, what does it cover?
It's all of Summit County, just east of Cuyahoga, just east of Medina County, south of Cleveland, and the northwest portion of Stark, which is Canton. So it's Akron, Canton, a little sliver of Portage, which is part of Kent. And you can find out more about what we want to do in Copley. That's part of Summit County. And I'll be there on Friday at 7 o'clock. I'm going to spell out. We're going to take questions. Bring your tough questions. I'm ready to answer them. It's going to be at St. Luke's Church. I spoke there a week or two ago, and I'll be there again on Friday at 7. The address, 3810 Ridgewood Road, 3810 Ridgewood Road, Copley. And that's not very far from Cleveland. It's in Summit County, just near Akron, and it's going to be worth the trip. We're gonna talk about how it is we can get our country back. I'm tired of talking. Honestly, I'm tired of, just as I said in the abortion debate, I'm sick of marching. I'm tired of debating. I'm tired of talking. It's time we end it. You know what? I'm tired of complaining about everything that's going on in the world today. There's got to be a way to get it back, and I believe that God has given me another idea. He gave me an idea that worked out pretty well the last time with keeping hearts beating with the federal and the state heartbeat bills. I believe he's given me another idea. I'm going to tell people about it on Friday. I hope you can come. St. Luke's Church, 3810 Ridgewood Road, Copley, Ohio, 44321.
All right, Bill and Michelle in Florida pledge 30. Frank in Cleveland pledges 25. Gloria in Southfield pledges 35. That number, folks, is 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. Or 888-677-9673. We got to hear from you. This is very important. This is really important we hear from you. 888-677. I have virtually 10 hours in a week's time to raise enough money. Actually, it's a little less because it's really close to just to 9 hours because we don't get a full 60 minutes in our hours. So to raise enough money to stay on for the rest of the entire month. And so, folks, we need your help. Now, speaking of that, let me give that number again, 888-677-9673. 888-281-1110. Jen, there are people out there that need to run to this battle and help people, help you in your campaign and people like you in that campaign. God's Word, the Bible, as James 1:22 says, be you a doer of the word, not a hearer of the word, not a hearer only. Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. Deceiving your own self. Now, a lot of people will say, you know what, and I've heard this so many times, I can't believe how many times I've heard this, but and from other pastors where they've said, you know, Brother Sanders, we appreciate what you do. I mean, we just really appreciate what you do, but, you know, I'm just not called to get out there and run to this battle. That's just not my calling to do that. That's not what God's Word, the Bible, says. The Bible says that from Genesis to Revelation, God gives us three missions, very clear, no stuttering. One, the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And then from Genesis to Revelation, he tells us that resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. To fail, failing to resist tyranny is always disobedience to God. Giving in to corruption is disobedience to God. And then he tells you to stand fast, hold your ground, don't back up, and hold to the tradition of the apostles. Those are the three missions. Now, Jan, when he tells you, be a doer of the word, not a hearer, only deceiving yourself, people that say, well, you know, Well, I'm, you know, I support you and I'll pray for you, but I'm not going to lift a finger to help you. People out there listening and people like you that need help in those campaigns, they need to come forward. They need to come up and say, look, what can I do? How can I help you? We've got to, everybody's got to work. And folks, again, we're up against dark, deep, dark forces. This is a real spiritual battle out there, the Antichrist system. And so, Jan, when I was telling you before that the righteous are becoming more righteous, but the wicked, things like they're doing where they're experimenting on babies, paying women to get pregnant and deliver full-term babies and taking these babies alive and removing their organs from them, they're doing that. It's evil. It's wicked. It's evil to the core. You all know about the things that Fauci did with the experimentation on children and puppies. These people are wicked. It is evil. So the wicked are becoming more wicked, and the righteous are becoming more righteous. But we know the Lord Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. Many will come, but few will enter. That, again, God expects us to be zealot Christian soldiers, doesn't he?
Well, you know, Pastor, I just don't think I'm called to the Great Commission. I just don't feel called to obey God. No, we're supposed to be salt and light in this dark and decaying world. But you got to remember, as dark as it is, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And I remember I talked with a pastor not too long ago, that he just said he's just not called to the pro-life battle. I said, really? I said, because, you know, thou shalt not kill, it made the top 10. God wrote it in stone in the top 10 commandments. And what Jesus said is, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. We're commanded, as you know, in Proverbs 24:11 to rescue those that are being carried away to death. And Proverbs 31:8 to be a voice for those appointed to die. These are commandments. These are not options. We're to choose life so that we and our children will live. This is God's voter guide. And so what we need to do is understand that God has given us what we need to occupy until he comes, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That's what we've got to understand. And that when you have a biblical worldview, it changes everything. It not only addresses the government mountain, but it's the all the areas of influence. It's within the media. It's within entertainment. It's within the science community and the family, the church. It's everything. You know what? All of the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's God's world, and we're supposed to occupy it. We're supposed to be running this place, as it says that the earth is the Lord's, but the heavens are the Lord's, but he's given the earth to the sons of men. We're supposed to be running this show, and we've got to step up and realize that it doesn't take a huge majority. You don't have to wring your hands and say it can never be done. God is famous for working through remnants. That's what he does. He works beauty from ashes. Right now, our country looks like it's burning to the ground, but God works beauty from ashes. He works good from great evil, and that's where we are right now. A remnant is rising up. I believe he's given us a pathway to victory, not only on the life issue, but in taking our country back on the liberty issue as well. And I've said it many times, that I'm running for Congress to fight for liberty as hard as I fought for life. I hope people come Friday night at St. Luke's Church in Copley, Ohio.
All right, very good. Yvette from Chicago pledges 20. Mike and Peggy from Oregon pledges 25. And it looks like we've got some more coming up here. Let me see. Where did I pick that up? Okay. Bo in Cleveland pledges 100, has a prayer request for his mother, Maria. She has heart.
AFib.
AFib, and is going through cardio shock. Please say a prayer for her. Just so you know, Mighty Andrew, my screen is going very dark in here, so it's very hard, and it's not lighting up again.
Okay.
Anyhow, let's pray for Maria. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to hold Maria up. Oh, Lord, I don't know her, but I know Bo. Bo has been a very faithful and helped us over the years. So, Lord, we want to, right now, the first thing I want is the people out there listening to us. Everyone that's listening to me, see, God's word, the Bible, makes it very, very clear. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. Everyone, every single one of you folks listening to me, either need prayer now or you will. And so Remember what Scripture says, those that show mercy receive it. So right now, Bo's mother needs your prayers, so join in with me as we lift her up. Heavenly Father, again, I want to lift her up and ask, Father, that you would touch her. My first prayer for her, because I don't know her, Lord, if she's not saved, that she receive Christ as a Savior. My next prayer for her, Lord, is that you touch her and that she might receive a complete healing and blessings in every area where she needs that. And my third is for her and everybody else that's listening out there that is saved, that they would turn their desires towards you more and more every day in every way at all times without any reservations. This is what we ask in the name of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. And we'll be back right after this with more.
Remember me, you're taking all my money. Remember me, you gave my job away. Remember me, or am I just a number? Who's white and straight and doesn't qualify for foreign aid? Remember me, I helped you get elected. But you haven't done one thing you said you'd do. Well, even though you'd rather not remember me, I'll remember you. I'll remember. In November. As I step into the little booth, I'll remember. Remember me, I served my country proudly. Remember me, I love the USA. Remember me, or am I just some bumpkin who you didn't think would notice the bounce checks and midnight raids? Remember me, I wrote you all those letters, thinking that you cared what I thought too. Well, even though you often just forget to remember, I'll remember you. I'll remember. In November. As I step into the little booth, I'll remember.
All right, and I'm going to tell you, that's just scaring the dickens out of all the Democrats and the rhinos out there. And so,
well,
all right.
The thing. Yeah. Don't wait till November. We got to remember May 3rd. That's what we need to move is on May 3rd.
You're not kidding. Right here in Ohio, May 3rd. Okay, Celeste in Michigan pledges 100. Andrea in Humphrey, Illinois pledges 1,000. And Tim in California pledges 20. Can we have matching? Can everybody out there match those, especially matching the 1,000 from Andrea? Who can match that 1,000 from Andrea? Right now we are $1,000 short of what we need. We're 1,000 short, and we have approximately 15 minutes to reach that 1,000 mark right now. So who can make? I need one matching gift of 1,000 out there to make that. And so here. For the folks out there, and we're talking about that, this is the time right now where God is calling us, you know, to run to this battle. Now, Jan, look, the wages of sin is death, and America has sinned mighty sins, and we stand in the shadow of a holy and a just God. And we're going to see some really dark times, okay? Joe Biden is going to do everything in his power to destroy this country, to reduce us to third world status or less. So what's going on? Union Pacific Railroad begins restricting rail shipments of nitrogen-based fertilizer during spring planting season. In early March, Tucker Carlson invited Iowa corn and soybean farmer Ben Reinsch on his top-rated program to discuss the massive inflation we're about to see in food prices. Remember, we reported on this even a year ago. We were telling you right away, because it started as soon as Joe Obama got in that White House. But recently, especially in the last couple of months, we've been telling you folks there's going to be a lot of shortages. There's going to be a lot of shortages to stock up on things, and the prices. This is, again, he's trying to reduce America to third world status. Now, here, he goes on to say, writes in his top rated program to discuss massive inflation we are about to see in food prices here at home. According to Reich, grocery prices may increase up to 1,000% due to Russian sanctions on fertilizer. Here, it's embarrassing how little people know about fertilizer, what it is, what it means, and tells us the implications of the sanction. I know that they know a lot about fertilizer there in Washington, D.C. They're filled with it. Soaring fertilizer prices are likely to spike food prices. Reinsch said if you are upset that gas is up $1 or $2, get $2 a gallon, wait until your grocery bills go up to over $1,000 a month. And it may not be manifest itself in terms of price. It could be quantity as well. Empty shelf syndrome must be starting. I'm sorry, I just wanted to make sure I heard correctly. Up to $1,000 a month is incredulous, Carlson said. That would be the average family of four spending $1,000 a month for food. That's a lot, you know, and when you match that with gas prices, and again, while Biden is sending our reserve, our strategic reserve, while he's sending it to Europe, I don't know. What's it going to take? Look, let me ask you this, because if we have this massive, like they're talking about, this red tsunami, red states. And by the way, they changed that. Remember, back up to the time of Reagan, the Republicans were blue, and the communists, the Democrats were red. They didn't want to be associated with that color red for good reason. The communists used to be called reds. But here, when we're looking at this and say we take Congress, and we, like they're saying, 50, 60 seats, we take the seat in the Senate, there will be, I know, because you got people like Jim Jordan, Max Gates, and others, they will impeach Biden. He is broken. He is a criminal. The entire Biden crime cartel, he's working hand-in-hand with the drug cartels and the human smugglers, okay? And the evidence is out there to impeach him. Now, there's different scenarios out there. They're talking about, actually, there's a mindset to appointing Donald Trump as Speaker of the House. This would be interesting here. Our country cannot take three more years of Joe Biden. We can't take another year. Right now, we don't have a Justice Department, and we do have some of the military is with us, with America. The others are bootlickers. I wouldn't give you 10 cents for that Pentagon up there right now. So what do you think? You think that's it? I mean, we cannot wait to 2024. Biden will be gone by then. What do you think?
Well, look, we're going to do whatever it takes. We're going to do whatever it takes for as long as it takes, because we're going to get our country back. I do not believe that God is done with America. I do not believe this is the end of the world and the judgment of mankind. I don't believe that, and I'll tell you why. I remember in 2020, one of we had a big prayer meeting there called The Return, and then Franklin Graham had another prayer meeting there. And I remember the prayer that I prayed was unlike any other time but I've ever prayed. Remember every election we pray, 2 Chronicles 7:14, that if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And every election, we've always prayed that. But that year, it was a different prayer than any other time I've ever prayed that prayer. At that time, in 2020, there were 10 states that had, in fact, turned from their wicked ways, that had passed heartbeat bills, 11 when you count Alabama that had passed a bill to protect children from conception. There's now 14. There's now a bill. There's now a state that has ended abortion in nearly every case. And I just believe that while it looks like it's the darkest of times, this is when we're seeing the breakthrough that we have prayed for 5 decades. We've been marching over this. We've been you know, crying out to God for the end of abortion, and we are on the brink. We're going to see probably in a little over a month, probably 2 months' time, the end of June, we're going to see Roe versus Wade crumble to the ground. I mean, I'm telling you, things look if you watch the news, if you watch the state-run media, you're going to be pretty depressed. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said that those who keep their eyes on Him, if we are going to keep our focus on Jesus, He's going to keep us in perfect peace, and He's going to give us the strategies we need to take it back. And I believe that's what's happening, that we're taking back in the area of abortion, despite what it looks like right now, despite the Supreme Court justice that was just confirmed that doesn't know the difference between a man and a woman. I mean, after all, she's not a biologist. This is really absolutely absurd where we are right now. The absolute deliberate destruction of America. But it's time now for America to rise up. And the good news is we have an opportunity before us. Coming up in just over a week, on May the 3rd, we've got an election. And you know what? We've got a proven candidate who's got a track record. And again, that's what you got to find, because words mean nothing. Slogans are worthless. What you need are action and results. And that's what I believe I'm bringing to the race. And if you want to find out more, come to St. Luke's on Friday. It's in Copley, Ohio, and we're gonna spell out the plan, how to get our country back with the lessons I've learned having fought this battle alongside with you, Pastor, for just about 4 decades of being in this battle, beginning with regulating abortion with the parental consents and the right to knows and fetal homicides and the partial birth abortion bans, the first one. But I believe that what we have now is an opportunity before us, not only on life, but liberty, because that's really where our country is most in peril right now. One of the things I want to introduce, and I'll talk about this on Friday, in the America First Contract, is the Constitutional Rights Restoration Act. That what we've got to do is we've got to bring back those constitutional rights that have been stripped from American citizens, not only in the Defense of Marriage Act, but also in the Personal in the Patriot Act. That right now we've got people that are still sitting in jail for what? For the crime of exercising their First Amendment rights. Some have violated the law with trespass violations, but the fact is they're sitting in jail while their 4th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 14th Amendment rights are completely ignored. Look, if you are an American citizen, those rights should not be stripped from you just because somebody calls you a name, a terrorist. Just as we saw with Justin Trudeau, the fascists to the north, they called truckers terrorists. Suddenly they freeze their bank accounts and they can do whatever they please. That cannot happen in America. And I believe we need a Constitutional Rights Restoration Act for that reason.
All right, very good. The phone lines are open at 888. Folks, we're running out of time. I want to say thanks to Tim in California. He pledged 20. We're running out of time. We need to hear from you. We really need to hear from you right now. We don't have much time left. We have 7 minutes in the program left. 888-281-1110. We came short last night. We can't afford to come short again tonight. We can't. 216-901-0945. That's 216-901-0945. are 888-281-1110, 888-281-1110, or 888-677-9673. We need to hear from you right now. The folks are sitting there on the phones waiting, and they're waiting, and they're waiting. And so give us a call. We're running short of time, and we are the voice. I can tell you this. Look, in 50 years on the radio, we've never once compromised. We've never once compromised. And I'm going to be talking about some things this week right now because there are some people out there that are angry that we're telling them what they don't necessarily want to hear, okay? They don't want to hear it, okay? Where it comes to God's Word, the Bible's clear. It's repent or perish. Now, you know, Jan, and God was willing to spare Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 righteous men. And I think, you know, we have a number of righteous, and I see more and more people are rising up. But, folks, the time is coming shorter and shorter. The days are fewer and fewer between now and the Lord's return. Believe me, he said he's coming back, and he will be back for us. Believe me, what God says he'll do, he has done, is doing, and without fail will do. And will you be ready for that? You know, again, if you don't have a burning desire to serve God, to get out there and to serve him, you better. And I know many, many, many people, Jan, a lot of folks have a profession of faith. But, you know, faith without works is what?
Dead.
So works is evidence of what?
Faith.
It means salvation. All right. Very good. So think about that, you folks out there. You know, you told me about that pastor that said he's not called. I'll never forget a Presbyterian preacher at a prayer breakfast one day. He was sitting next to me, and he says, Pastor Sanders, I really respect what you do out there saving the babies and that. But, you know, Pastor, I could never preach the way you do in my church. If I did that, I would offend, you know, I would offend too many of the women in the congregation because too many of them had abortions. And so I don't want to offend them. I said, let me ask you a question. And I got to admit, that hit me. I said, dummy, don't you think that if you've been preaching against that horrible sin, that awful, awful sin of killing children, that you might not have so many women in your congregation that have committed that sin? And he said, you know what? You've got a point. You've got a good point there. He said,
by the way,
yeah,
there's a lot of women that are sitting in those churches that need to be healed. You know, the first way to get to the healing place is to repent for sins that have taken place. That's the only way the wound can be healed. That's the way the blood of Jesus can wash that out. And then instead of an open wound, which is an invitation to the enemy, you've got a scar that God can use to have a testimony to save other lives. And I'll just say that's one of the problems we have, are wounded people, wounded women, wounded men in the church that have participated in this, that are afraid to tell anyone. What they need to do is confess it and have God remove it as far as the east is from the west, and then become a powerful voice for the voiceless. That's, I believe, the remedy that is missing by the silence in the pulpit.
You're absolutely right. Douglas in New Jersey pledges 1,000. And so we have reached our goal for tonight. But, folks, we're going to be here for a few more minutes, so we need to hear from you. There's still time to hear from you. Now, I'm going to listen carefully because what I'm going to be saying in the next few minutes is the most important part of this program. In the Bible, the commandment came forth from God, hear ye. He spoke of his beloved son, Jesus. If you are not sure what will happen to you after you die, you don't. Don't you read on and see what Jesus will say? Why don't you, huh? If you reject Jesus, you will be judged one day by his word. Hear ye him. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I come to judge the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judged him. And the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. If you do not believe in Jesus, you will die in your sins. hear ye him. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. John 8:24. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Jesus said, you will not get to heaven without him. There is no other way. Hear ye him. I am the way, the truth, and the life, for no man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. And then, if you do not believe on Jesus, you are already condemned to burning hell. Do you hear me? You folks out there, this is what God says. If you do not believe on the Lord Jesus, you're already condemned. Hear ye him. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Look, folks out there, everybody's going to die. That's not the tragedy. To die in your sin, that's a real tragedy. You can't undo that. And God made it easy. He made it really easy for you, okay? The Lord Jesus did all the heavy lifting. He took your place, and he suffered a lot for your sins and mine. So what you need to do tonight, how much time do I have? I don't know.
2.5 minutes.
Okay, there you go. We're running. There's things happening here real fast in the studio. So here's what you do. You pray to the Father. You ask for forgiveness of your sins. Do this. Just pray to God the Father. Ask for forgiveness of your sins. Then ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations. And if you'll do that, you've got God's word on it. You will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir to the kingdom, and you'll be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And folks, from there, you're on the road to eternity, on the road to eternal life. So that's what you do. Don't try to wait till tomorrow, because you may not have it tomorrow. So, all right, we have, I got to say this, boy, Judy from Michigan pledges $150. Thank you. Ellie from Philly pledges $30. Greg from Indianapolis pledges $100. Greta from Texas pledges $20. And Sharon from Ohio pledges $50. So praise the good Lord. We went over our goal tonight, which we needed to do because we came short last night. And we're still going to be here for a few more minutes. So, folks, while we're here, 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. Or our 888-677-9673. Jan, I want to thank you for being here with us tonight. And, you know, we're gonna do all that we can to send you to Washington, D.C.
And thank you. And I know you call me Jan, but on the ballot it's going to be Janet Folger Porter, just so we're clear. And that's the website, janetfolgerporter.com. I hope to see people Friday night at St. Luke's Church. And thank you, Pastor, for all you're doing, for being the voice of the Christian resistance, for always being on the forefront, never compromising. I don't know if I mean, I've known you for, 20 years, 30? I know
at
this,
least.
Actually more. It's more. It's actually closer to 40. And I've never known you to compromise. You've always been ahead of the curve. You've always been a voice. And so in these final minutes, I do want to encourage people.
Jan, I'm out of time tonight. Time is gone. We're coming up to the end. So until tomorrow, we want to say good night. God bless. And always, 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 and I do mean always, keep fighting the fight.
The fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.